Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, good afternoon. It is Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America. And my name is Fayola Delica, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure. It is April 10th, 2015, and I am delighted once again to have a special guest with us. Today we have Dr. Antonio Webb. Hi, Dr. Webb. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. We are so delighted to have you on the show today. And today, Dr. Webb is going to be sharing his inspirational story about overcoming odds. That is the title of his first book. And today we'll be talking about how does adversity turn into triumph. And we really want to share the opportunity to know that whatever you've been through in life is not the end. It's actually a guided tool to help you to get to where you should be. So Dr. Antonio Webb is a native from Shreveport, Louisiana. His family was plagued by jail time and addicted to drugs. And especially as a child, in his childhood, his neighborhood was faced with many challenges, such as most of his friends were either were killed on the street, or they were in prison since teenage years because of some kind of criminal activity. But yet, destiny had a different path for Dr. Webb, as while he was in high school, he developed an interest in biology and medicine, and his grades earned him a spot in a local medical magnet program for disadvantaged students. Inspired by this experience, he began to dream of a career as a doctor, even though no one in his family had completed college, let alone medical school. Dr. Webb realized his best chance of financial help with higher education would come if he served in the military. After 17 years old, Dr. Webb graduated from high school, top 5% of his class. His father consented to let him join the U.S. Army Force in 2001. 8 years in active duty commitment in the Air Force, he worked as a medic and simultaneously attended undergrad at the University of Texas, San Antonio, taking classes whenever and wherever he could to complete his degree. 6.5 years later, he completed his degree and was the first to graduate college from his family. Later, he was deployed to north of Baghdad, Iraq, where he served as a combat medic on a base dubbed Martyrville because the frequency of martyr attacks that endured. He treated over 800 patients during his deployment and earned several medals in the process. He left the military in 2009 and began full-time in his medical training. He had the opportunity to go to Georgetown Experimental Medical Studies Program, where they prepared students from disadvantaged backgrounds to be successful in medical school. He also was accepted to the renowned Georgetown University School of Medicine, where he completed his degree. And he believed that the day he was accepted was the most unforgettable moment of his life thus far. And studying medicine and medical research, he earned honors in the fields of renal, pediatrics, internal medicine, surgery, psychiatry, and critical care ICU, leading to his Doctorate of Medicine degree in 2014. He is currently completing his residency at the University of Texas, San Antonio, specializing in orthopedic surgery. Now, his book is entitled Overcoming the Odds, and he is frequently sought after for inspirational speaking engagement. His passion is in rewarding activity and mentoring for underprivileged middle school and high school students who have interest in the career of medicine. Dr. Webb, can you please share us, as for growing up in Louisiana, you grew up in a rough neighborhood, your family was plagued by either jail time or addicted to drugs. What do you think protected you from falling into that same status quo within your environment?
Yeah, that's a good question. my father was a very influential person in my upbringing. He actually went through some troubled childhood himself, went to prison, and messed with drugs when he was younger, but luckily he turned his life around, became a minister, so and then joined the military, which afforded us to live a very strict household, live in a strict household. So I think with his with his help, and with a lot of other family members from a distant, they kind of kept me and my siblings a little bit isolated and tried to from everything that was going on, but still was a very challenging time.
Because your mother was an addict to crack cocaine and your younger brother was sentenced to juvenile life for armed robbery. How did that impact you growing up?
Yeah, so I guess being in a single-parent home, that's difficult for any child. I think just seeing my mom going away for a couple of weeks and not knowing where she was or when she would come back or when she would come back, whether she'd come back safe or not, that was very difficult. Especially as a child, and then seeing my little brother in prison, that's one of the things that actually kind of kept me in the straight path, so I wouldn't get in trouble just seeing him behind bars. That was probably one of the hardest things. I'll never forget that image the first time I saw him, and then walking up in handcuffs and behind bars. But I think one of the things, I think everything happens for a reason. I think the things that I grew up with and around the environment and made me the person who I am today. So,
wow. So you say that you didn't have any positive role models, so you had to create one out of yourself. Can you describe that process for us?
Yeah, I would say outside of my immediate family, I would say my dad, just seeing him struggle day in and day out just to take care of me and my siblings and dealing with everything else that was going on with my mom, I kind of looked at that and told myself that I didn't want to duplicate that same lifestyle from my family and generations to come. So I knew I needed to be successful, stay out of trouble, and stay in school. Otherwise, it would just repeat that same generational cycle. So I think that's the reason why I work so hard to this day.
So it was the fear of seeing what your mom had to go through with her drug addiction and then your younger sibling, your younger brother being incarcerated, that kind of gave you that internal inspiration to not be like them and to overcome the odds, and how you were in high school and you achieved academically. Now, were there any teachers or anybody in your academic environment that kind of encouraged you or empowered you to pursue school besides the motivation from yourself?
Yeah, I don't recall one particular teacher, but I do credit the Fair Park Medical Careers Magnet Program, the kind of got me interested in medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't for that program. I'm not sure where I would be today, but they introduced the concept of medicine, and that's the reason why I'm doctor today. So I actually went back to that school about 3 months ago and gave a talk, and I'll be trying to plan a next trip back to Louisiana. They want me to come speak to the entire school, about 800 to 1,000 kids. So we're really looking forward to that.
Wow, and that's definitely going to be an inspiration, that kids that look like you, that come from that same neighborhood, can say that someone made it out, and I have the opportunity to do so as well. So then you graduate high school, you go on into the military. What was the passion behind that? I know that you used that to help you to get your life in a better light. But tell us about that experience, being 17 and going into the Air Force.
Yeah, I was quite young. my father was in the military, and my older brother had went off into the military also.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's dad was in the military. So I come from a small generation of people in the military.
Mm-hmm.
But around that time, I started getting into trouble, started hanging around the wrong crowd, and there was a group of people looking to, actually came to my sister's job to try to kill me. So
wow.
I knew I had to get out of Shreveport. Otherwise, I'm not sure where I would be today. But I'm glad I did. And I joined the military at 17 and did 8 years in the Air Force. And then got out and went to medical school.
Now, when you were in military, were there any skill sets that helped you to become who you are today, or any experiences that you've had that kind of shaped you to be prepared for medical school?
I don't think there's anything that can prepare you for medical school. It's very, very challenging. But, you know, one thing it did do is it taught me discipline. And we have three core values in the military and Air Force is excellence in all we do, service for self, and basically I just used those core values throughout my time in medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just being very disciplined, I think that's one thing that maybe helped me with, because the amount of work is astronomical in medical school and their expectations. So I think just having that military background and it helped me in that aspect.
And so you're an award-winning medic. You treated over 800 patients. You were in a very difficult medic station in North Baghdad, Iraq, in a combat zone. How long were you there for?
I was there for about 5 months. In 2005, right when the war was first kind of kicking off. Very, very dangerous place. Like you say, the name of the place was called Mortarville. We got attacked about 3 to 4 times per day.
Wow.
With either rockets or small arms fire. And there was actually one time that a rocket actually went up right over my head and hit the ground, maybe about 10 feet from me.
Wow.
But it didn't explode. I'm not sure why, but it hit the ground and didn't do anything. otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you today. But
yeah.
But went over there, had a job to do, and luckily we all came back safe.
Oh, yeah, thank God, because I've heard of some stories where people have been in combat zones or have been in service and came back, and it wasn't as easy for them to transition. But I want to thank you for servicing our country. I always, you know, think it's an honor to be able to allow someone who serviced our country and sacrificed for us to have the freedom and liberty of being American. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So then, while you're a medic in the service, you're also going, you're doing your undergrad. It took you 6.5 years to get that. And then you apply to medical school. What was your thought process? Was Georgetown the only school you applied to?
No, actually, I applied to medical school 3 times. My first 2 times, I didn't get accepted. I applied a number of different schools, but I think it's possible that going to school while I was in the military and trying to take full-time courses at the same time being in the military kind of affected my grades. But, I mean, when the medical school admissions committee, they told me I wasn't, you know, a good applicant, or they said they rejected me from their school. I took that kind of hard, but I had to get back up and work a little bit harder. So that's exactly what I did. And I studied harder and applied things that I knew that would help me increase my chances of matriculating into medical school. So, and that's exactly what I did.
Well, that's encouraging. So you applied 3 times, and each time that you didn't get the response you wanted, you just continue persevering. And then you
tried again
until you finally got into the school with your from. Getting into Georgetown Medical School, and based on your history and your past, that is definitely an accomplishment.
Yeah, it was the second time. I think I took that time the hardest because I was like, I'm proving my application, and I had a couple interviews, and I just couldn't figure out why no one picked me up to start medical school. And I actually got on the phone with my advisor. I actually cried and had to get back to the drawing board. So that was difficult time, but I'll never forget that experience I had to go through to get into medical school.
But then receiving that acceptance letter, as you say, is the most unforgettable moment in your life thus far.
Yeah, I would say that, and actually graduation day of medical school, it was unreal. All the years that I put in to get to that point, and to finally walk across the stage and be called a doctor, you know, in a very prestigious school, is very emotional day.
Wow. And then at the American Medical Association, less than 4% of practicing physicians are African Americans in the United States. And then you're even in a more specialized specialty of medicine as an orthopedic surgeon. So how is that, as being less than 4% of practicing physicians are African Americans? How's your experience there? And what do you think is, because I truly believe that each of us have an opportunity, not just for ourselves, but to empower others.
Yeah.
And I know you say that your passion is to mentor students who are wanting to study medicine. How are you using that experience by being such a very small minority in the area of medicine?
Yeah, I think just being visible. I never knew anyone who was a black physician, male physician, growing up. I wish I did. That would have really inspired me. So that's the reason why I work so hard, and I actually get invited like all over the U.S. I'm going to Indiana State University in about 2 weeks, and we're going to Penn State University to speak. But I think it's important for, you know, kids from all kids, but kids from any city, inner city, to see someone who looks just like them, who speaks like them, come from a similar environment, back and, you know, have MD behind their name or just someone who's just as successful. I think it's important for kids to see that because all they see in their community is a lot of drug dealers and people who aren't necessarily doing any positive things. And they see that and they want those materialistic things, and that can lead to, you know, a lot of bad decisions. So that's why I try to stay as visible as possible and, you know, try to encourage kids to let them know if I can do it, they can also.
Mm-hmm. Now, what made you decide orthopedic surgeon as your specialty?
That's a great question. I knew I always liked working with my hands, so I knew I wanted to be a surgeon. I just didn't know what type. And in medical school, rotated with orthopedic surgery, and I just liked the reconstructive part, putting things back together. Get to play with a lot of tools in the operating room, like in the playground at work sometimes, or in my garage, with drills and screws and plates. So it's definitely a good specialty to be in, and I think I'm glad I made the decision to go to orthopedic surgery.
Oh, awesome. We wish you all the best of luck as you finish your residency at the University of Texas, San Antonio.
Yes.
Then your journey does not stop there. You go to Liberia during the Ebola outbreak and work with patients there. Tell us about that experience. What was going through your mind? Were you invited to go? Did you volunteer to go? What was that process?
Yeah, I was actually in my last year of medical school, and luckily my Georgetown allows to attend an international rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my classmates is actually from Liberia, and we decided to go there. But we didn't know that there was the stirring up of the Ebola until we got on ground into the hospital our first day, and everybody was kind of frantic-y and kind of worried. But luckily, my school didn't pull us out. They let us stay during that time, and just that experience, it was unforgettable, just the things that I saw and the hospital conditions and the way people live. I've just never seen poverty to such an extreme level. But I was very grateful for the opportunity to go over there and help out.
And how long were you there for?
I was there for a month. Just 1 year ago, April 2014.
And how many of you and your team went?
Just two of us.
Wow, and coming back, how did that change your perspective and how you saw medicine or how you practice or how you dealt with your patients?
Yeah, I think one thing it did teach me was to improvise. So they didn't have a lot of supplies, a lot of medications that I needed. And that's actually the first time that a patient died on me as a healthcare provider.
Mm-hmm.
I actually lost a couple of patients over there. I just couldn't do anything for them because I didn't have the medications.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the supplies that I needed and manpower. So just made me very grateful and thankful for, you know, the health care that we have here in the U.S. I mean, a lot of people talk about it, but going to a third world country, then you know, realize how good we have it here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's very, very inspiring. Now you've written your first book. What was the passion? What gave you the inspiration to write the book, Overcoming the Odds, From the War on the Streets in Louisiana to War on Terrorism in Iraq, How I Successfully Overcame the Odds?
Yeah, I think it was just from everything that my environment that I grew up in and everything that I came across throughout the years to get my open path to become a surgeon. I thought that a lot of people can be able to relate to those experiences, especially people from inner cities, young kids who may not think it's possible to be successful just from their environment, just because their mother never went to college or not didn't do anything, or their father or is in prison, or their brother. So I just wanted to be an inspiration to everyone out there, let them know that irregardless of your background or your environment, you can be successful as long as you work hard.
And you say, more importantly, the book, it echoes your personal belief that there is an incredible, undeniable strength in every person to overcome the odds. How would you share that message with others? How would you share that with our audience in talking about overcoming the odds, and what value is it in the obstacles? Because I truly believe, you know, adversity is a test of your inner ability.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would say that irregardless of what the situation may be, whether it's either you failed a test or you're having problems at your job, with your marriage, everyone is going to be faced with obstacles in life. But I think what matters most is how you deal with each situation. The most successful people, they analyze each situation and they take something from that and try to better themselves in the future. So, and that's exactly what I did throughout my years to become a surgeon. Each time I failed, whether it's applying to medical school or struggling on tests or exams or not making necessarily right decisions in life, I take a step back and I look at it and say, what can I do to better myself in the future? So I think that's what most successful people do.
Wow. And then you have a chapter where you talk about your experience. Now, how would you relate? Because you talk about your life in the streets of Louisiana. Then you talk about your experience as a veteran, and then you talk about your experience as medicine and how you're impacting students in the inner city or other students who are wanting to be in the medical profession. What do you think is the common denominator and from how you were brought up to the different places in your life that you were able to transition and overcome these different obstacles?
I would say it's... like I said, everything happens in life for a reason. So I think just the challenging times that I had to go through in my childhood in Louisiana, and even to this day, I think that just motivates me and inspires me to achieve whatever goals I set for myself. So what I like to tell young kids and students is, irregardless of your background or your circumstances, you have the deep down inside of you, you have the ability to be successful and to overcome those odds. As long as you work hard and keep God first, you can achieve anything that you put your mind to. So,
now, what would you say to the young black men who are going through certain challenges? Because as myself as well, mentoring youth, I think it's such a challenge. Of course, as a woman, I can relate better to the young girls that I work with. But when I encounter young men, especially of African-American or African descent, there is such a challenge in helping them to realize that they don't have to be bitter with their life experience, or they don't have to succumb to what they're going through. What advice would you give to the young African-American boys who may be coming from an inner city or, as they say, the hood? And how would you, what would you say to them to help them to realize that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, that they can come out?
Yeah, and that's very hard to see, especially as a young kid. When I was growing up, there was people that I kind of looked up to were the big drug dealers, people who had the nicest cars, had all the money, had all the women, and everyone looked up to them, and they tried to immaculate that. And I think we made irrational decisions and ended up in prison just because of that. So it is very challenging to tell a young kid, oh, go to school and stay out of trouble when they can go out and make $2,000, $3,000 a day. So I actually spoke with a friend that I grew up with, and he's still in prison to this day. I spoke with him a couple months ago on the phone. And I was like, did you go back to school and finish at such and such school? And he said, why would I go back to school if I can make $5,000 in a day? So I think that's just a mentality that a lot of people are raised up in, and they want money now and now time. So it is very challenging to try to lay that message to the kids. But basically I tell them, end of the day, education is most important. To try to stay in school, stay out of trouble, and irregardless of your background, if your mother didn't do it or your sister, brother, just use me as inspiration that you can be successful. So,
yeah, you definitely can attest to that with overcoming all that you've been through. And it's also one thing that when you encounter the ones that are on the street, that they don't realize they have an entrepreneurial gift. They're using it the wrong way. They're so business savvy, but it's business savvy street. And if they were to apply themselves, imagine the time, the money management or the creativity or their sales that they can actually have a legitimate business that can be successful. So it is unfortunate that, you know, a lot of them see, you know, their role models are what they see on TV. You know, they see the rappers, they see the celebrities, which there are some good role models within those different industries. But unfortunately, a lot of them are giving them a false image or a false lifestyle, what success looks like.
Yeah, that's very true. And I had a lot of friends who, even I made irrational decisions over the years just for falling into that trap.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the reason why I try to get out as much as I can and speak to them and let them know they see me behind my face or on the cover of a book and a white coat on. And that inspires a lot of kids. Their eyes get really big when I tell them how much you can make as an orthopedic surgeon, well, as long as you stay out of trouble and stay in school. So that's probably the highlight of my talks when I go talk to them.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important that we do give back in mentoring students, whether it's to encourage them to overcome challenges or help them to figure out a career path, because you say that you don't take anything for granted and, you know, you are incredibly blessed. And I think that's an opportunity to know that you overcame all the different challenges to share the story with those that you encounter, whether you know them directly or indirectly, that you will impact other people's lives. And you said the proudest moment in your life will be when you encounter a student later in years who says, I am in medical school because of you. And I truly believe that opportunity will come, because how you are so passionate in your book and in King and how you present yourself and really are transparent and sharing your story and saying, you know, I do come from the streets of Louisiana. I've been through all these different experiences, but I have overcome, and I'm still overcoming, and I want to help you along the journey of overcoming what you need to overcome in order to be who you are. So Overcoming the Odds is available on Amazon, and your website, can you share your contact information with our audience who would be able to, whether they want to find out more about you, get your book, or even book you for upcoming events?
Yes, it's Antonio, A-N-T-O-N-I-O, web, at web.com. And amazon.com/author/AntonioWebMD.
Awesome. Now, what is the best advice you would give to our audience? I want you to, if you kindly will give three areas of best advice. The best advice you would give to youth today.
The best advice that I would give to the audience? Question?
Yeah, for the youth, specifically for youth.
I would say that irregardless of your background or your upbringing, your circumstances, you can be successful and definitely overcome whatever obstacles that are thrown at you in life. As long as you work hard and keep God first, just remember to take every situation and see how you can apply it to your something in future in life.
And now, what is the best advice you give to someone who is in a very difficult situation right now? They're thinking they cannot overcome the odds.
Just look at other people as who has did it before you. So I'm not the only person who has been through something like this before. There are several people that I look up to and that inspire me. So I always say that if I can do it, you can also. So I have someone that I look up to, and I say the same thing to them. So.
And then the last question is, what is the best advice you would give to a healthcare professional? And the reason why I ask this question, as a registered nurse and health educator, it is challenging sometimes to realize, to help other professional healthcare professionals realize that their gift and their calling is in healthcare, and it's not just a job. It's not just a career. So what advice would you give to the healthcare professionals who are currently in our healthcare system?
I would say just be that advocate for the patient. Most people go into medicine because they are in the business of helping others. I would say just use that. God placed you in that position for a reason. You can be a blessing to that patient at the bedside every day. So just take advantage of that.
We're Dr. Antonio J. Webb, who is an orthopedic surgeon resident, an author, motivational speaker, who has a passion for helping others reach their full potential in life. We want to say thank you, Dr. Webb, for all that you've done. May God bless you and continue to lead you on a path and journey to inspire others. If you would like more information about Dr. Webb, please don't hesitate to visit our social media platforms as well as our Blog Talk Radio Show website, and you'll find all his contact information there. Please remember that you are your hidden treasure, and we are on the Finding Your Hidden Treasure every Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.